We're going to continue in our series today, expecting. What does it mean to expect God in our lives? The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9 is where we're reading from today. I want to invite you to multitask as you give your offering. If you have your Bibles, turn and meet me in Matthew, chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 9. Familiar passage of Scripture. We've been talking about the gospel. And the gospel has three legs. The gospel is incarnational. It's the story of a God who came where we were, where we are. John 1 through 14, he says, God put on flesh and clothes and dwelt among us. So it's the incarnation. It's about a God who showed up, and it's about the substitution. It's about a God who took our place on Calvary's cross. But that's not all. It's also about a coming kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God, the reign of God. So it's about the cradle, the cross, and the crown. And our heart's response to the kingdom of God is to expect the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he tells them not so much how to pray, but how to be. Think about that. What I'm about to talk about the next few moments is not so much as how to pray, but how to be. And so when you pray, pray that you may be like I'm instructing you to pray. Did you get that? So don't walk away from it. It's not a to-do list, but it's a be list. How it is that I am to be so that I might honor God with my life. He says these words, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power." This is King James. So if you're in NIV, you ain't getting this. King Jimmy said, "I want to put a remix on the end." He says, I got to close it. He says, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus, as we open up the text, would you be with us? Would you tune our ear to your voice so that we might hear your words? Would you turn our heart toward you so that we might experience the fullness of all that you have for us? God, it's to that end that I ask that you would stand in my body, think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords, those things you'd have us say, know, and do. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Have your way in fellowship today in Jesus' name. Every heart said amen. Growing up in Mississippi, we used to sing songs in our church that would often talk about heaven, that would often talk about the coming reigning kingdom of God. We'd sing songs that pointed to the glory of God, especially being African Americans. Many times we would sing to the eschaton, the coming of the king, because we would think of times that had joy, that had peace, that had hope. And in the presence of slavery and segregation and the struggle, oftentimes we would gather in churches and we would sing of the coming glory because the glory was yet to be revealed in our present situation. Can I get a witness up in here, anybody? So we would sing these songs. I never forget a song we used to sing at our church. My mother was on the piano, and she'd sing songs. Put me in the key. I like to sing. Yeah, there you go. There you go. She'd sing this song. She'd sing a song like this. "Won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand?" We'll say this. "Won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand?" Sing the verse and say this.
One of these mornings, it won't be long. You're gonna look for me and I'll be gone. I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? Hey, won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? Won't it be grand? Oh, won't it be grand? I'm going home to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? Oh, one of these mornings, said it won't be long. You're gonna look for me and I'll be going on home. I'm going up to heaven to live with Jesus. Won't it be grand? Yeah! 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 Listen. We get so excited. You thought that was something. We get really excited. We get excited in all the right keys, unlike me. We get so excited about the day when we would see Jesus. We get so excited in great anticipation of the coming glory, the coming reigning of God, because troubles down here sometimes can get overwhelming. Situations down here can sometimes get overwhelming. And sometimes you got to take a theological station break and begin to praise to the eschaton, praise to the coming of God. And you begin to fantasize and get excited about the day when Jesus will come and lift you up out of this struggle, lift you up out of the problems. And it reminds us that we're just pilgrims journeying through this barren land. This world is not our home. And we would get excited about the future hope, but there were times when this excitement, if left unchecked in balance, can create a perverted theology. We'd be so consumed with heaven. Excuse the common thought. But we'd be so consumed with heaven that we'd be no earthly good. We'd be so heavenly minded, we'd be no earthly good. I remember being a little boy coming to Jesus exclusively because, man, Jesus was my best way out of hell. Because they used to preach heaven and hell and fire and brimstone. And I never forget, I wasn't trying to go to hell. And I'm like, Jesus will come back and if you ain't ready, you'll go to hell. And as a kid, she'd be like, oh. You hear something? You hear that? That one, Jesus was, oh, Lord, I ain't ready. You know what I'm saying? I remember one time this girl wanted to kiss me, as back then many did. she wanted to kiss, and you know, I'm a little kid. I was like, girl, I'm kissing you. What if Jesus come back and we die and go to hell? You know, around eighth grade, I got over that. Won't it be grand? So, I don't even know what I was about to say. Okay. It had us so that we didn't recognize the theological truth that the kingdom is to come, but the kingdom is already. This is the great dichotomy, this dynamic that we dance in, because the kingdom is to come and the kingdom is already here. So it's the already, not yet. And we are to dance and know that the power of Jesus Christ is present and is here and is ready. But the fulfillment of that power is still to come. It's on our way. It's on its way. So as we hope in anticipation of the glory, we rest and live and praise God in the reality of his present glory. So we shout and thank God for the present glory, and we shout in anticipation for the coming glory, and we live in this dichotomy, the already and the not yet. God is delivering me, and God is going to deliver me. God is making a way, and he's going to sure enough make a way. God has brought me out, and he's still going to bring me out. It's the already not yet. So we as believers are to live in this kingdom tension, the kingdom that is coming and the kingdom that is. Jesus helps his disciples dance in the tension. First of all, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, girl, you sang. Girl, that was good. That was good. Lord's Prayer, the first word he says is what? Our. Some of y'all didn't go to school. I said the first word. Our Father. No. First word is what? Say it again.
Our.
See, immediately before you go any further, before you go praying about anything, you need to understand and recognize that it ain't about you. Ain't about me. It's about our. Did you get that? No. It's not about you and what he needs to do in your life. It's not about me, what he needs to do in my life. He calls out this individualistic mentality. This thing that says it's about me and mine. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but he says from the gate, from your very prayer, you need to make sure that your prayer ain't just about you. Some of us, somebody great said it. They're so great, I can't remember their name. But somebody great said, if God was to answer all your prayers, would it make a difference in anybody else's life other than yours? Did you get that? It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about mine. It ain't about yours. It's about we. It's about us. It's about our. We are in the family of God, the family of faith, and we don't go on this journey by ourselves. That's why you are individually a great Christian, and you are individually missing the best part about being a Christian. And that's the community of God. Y'all not getting it. Let me help you. Come here, Mikkel. Help me. Come here. Help me out. Y'all two, father, daughter, y'all come help me out. Follow them up. Let me see. Where's Nate? Nate, are you in here? Are you out? Come here, Nate. Come help me out. Because I need an Asian, and I know you Asian. Because sometimes you just don't know. You know what I mean? I can be trying to figure out. Come here, Brandon. I know you Latino. You are too. What are you?
Italian.
That's what I'm talking about. Represent. Come on up here, Brandon. We gotta have a white man. Come here. Will you help us out? Yeah, good. Oh, yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure. You good? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You good and white. I like it. I like it. You're good and white. All right. Let's see. We got three. All right. We're good. Good. So I intentionally, some of you get awkward about this kind of stuff. I am too. Awkwardly confident that this is okay. I'm intentionally getting different cultures and different races, lest you go home thinking the hour is just people that look like you, live like you, and vote like you. Do you see what I'm saying? So although it may be culturally awkward for you, it's kingdom necessary for me. And it's kingdom necessary for you too. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I go out of my way to intentionally bring up people of different ethnicities, different cultures, different ages, different gender. Because when you think about the hour, I don't want you thinking about people that just look like you, live like you, vote like you in your neighborhood, in your community, in your household. I want you to think about the kingdom hour. This is the kingdom hour. And when you think about the kingdom hour, we come together. It says our. Everybody grab hands. Grab your neighbor's hands. Our. So when you pray and when you come to God and when you begin to pray and dream and expect God concerning your family, you need to recognize that this is your family. And if your family don't look like this, then you are missing some family members. Oh, come on. Y'all need to clap louder than that. Your community should reflect the kingdom of God. The Bible says at the end of the story, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, that there'll be every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every race. I'm not trying to wait to the end of the book to experience the joy of the book. If that's how it's going to end, shouldn't we begin that way? Shouldn't our life, our ministry, our community work toward that end? Some of you are too comfortable around your own people. And you're so awkward around other people. We can work through that, but you need to show up. And don't use awkwardness and discomfort as an excuse to not engage into kingdom community. Did y'all get that? Did you understand what I'm saying? Oh my God, he just said Asian. Oh my goodness. Chill out. Like, get over yourself. Stop being so awkward. Stop being weird. Didn't you learn that in junior high? Stop it. Like, what does it mean for us to intentionally pursue kingdom community, kingdom relationships? Because the beauty of this kingdom, the beauty of this relationship, the beauty of the people standing on stage is that you look at us and really, we don't belong together. Like, you look at this group, what in the world y'all got in common? Like, why are y'all together? You ain't gonna see them eating at Cheesecake Factory all together. You know what I mean? It's like, what are y'all doing here? You know what I mean? How beautiful to say that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings us together. Because we have the same, I'm ready for the second word now, our Father. We got the same Father. Now, I ain't talking about some pimp that was a Rolling Stone in your neighborhood. No, I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about this Father. It's about our Father. See, it takes a God, a Father, to do this, to bring people this different together, this intergenerational together, to come together in one family and to say one Father. Because we got the same DNA and we get the DNA from our daddy. That DNA is that kingdom DNA that flows in our veins, our skin. If we were to pull back this dirt suit, then we would realize that if we pull it back on the inside, we all got the same kingdom DNA. Because the blood that flowed on Calvary's cross is what washed my sins and was flowing through my veins. And when you pull back and look at our kingdom DNA, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of the hour of the family of God. Watch this. So when you look at us, it don't look like we can, but when we move, let me get right here. When we move, everybody take one step. We move the same way because we all move in the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody go back. When we move, when you see us, we don't look alike, but when you see us moving in the earth, we represent the kingdom of God, and you can see our attributes show forth because of how we live. Our Father, let's step back. Our Father, I love it. I love it. We're ready for the next part now, which art in heaven. Which art in heaven, that's above and beyond our circumstance, that's above and beyond our situations, that's greater than anything that we can see. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father just isn't effective in engineering, or our Father just isn't, man, he got experience here. My Father got money over here and he can help us out. No. I don't have a Father that's held captive by the realities of this world. I have a Father that's out of this world. He is our Father, which art in heaven. That means he reigns. His jurisdiction goes beyond the county, goes beyond the state lines, it goes beyond this world. Our Father, which art in heaven. He's a big old God. He's a great God. He's a powerful God. He's greater than anything I could imagine. Our Father, which art in heaven, overseeing all that I could ever go through, ever need, or ever struggle with. It's important for you to realize that our Father, the Father that ties us together, is a big Father. He's a big God. He's a God that's above all things. Are y'all with me? Y'all not getting it. Let me show you like this. Everybody say our. Now, when you say our this time, I want you to say our, and I want you to grab the person's hand sitting beside you. One, two, three. Got it? Did y'all get it? Y'all a little slow. Put your hands back in. Bring your hands back in. All right? All right? On the count of three, I want you to say our, and I want you to grab their hand. One, two, three.
Our.
Yeah. It's our. Our Father. Our Father ties us together. And where is our Father? In heaven. All right? So everybody point up to the sky. All right? All right? So watch this. Watch me. Get your training. You got it? I'm going to give you some rhythm before the church is over today. All right? Our Father, which art in heaven. And what is he doing in heaven? He's running things. Yeah. You need to understand, my Father is running. My Father ain't struggling. My Father ain't about to be laid off. My Father ain't about to be cut due to budget. No. My Father is up in heaven and he is running things. Everybody say running things. No. Not running things. I did not say that. Don't do that to me. Running things, all right? All right? And don't say thing. That things, you got to drop off on it. You know what I mean? It's not. It's running things. You see what I'm saying? Because some of you are some in some things, and you're struggling with some things, and you're overcome by some things, and you need to understand that Jesus is running things. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? All right? So just watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Our Father, which art in heaven, who running things. Did y'all see how I did it? Y'all see you put the little spiritual gangster lean in it? You know what I'm saying? Spiritual gangster, not an ungodly gangster. We don't want those leaning. No. We want the spiritual lane. Y'all got it? So our Father, which art in heaven, who running things. Y'all ready? All right? Let's do it. All right? So hands, y'all let hands go. All right? Y'all ready? And y'all up here on stage, y'all got to set the example. All right? So when I say running things, y'all got to lean with it. You see what I'm saying? All right? Okay. You like her? See, she was like, lean. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Our Father, which art in
heaven.
There we go. There we go, y'all. There we go. There we go. To some of you that's struggling, you need to hear that. Listen to me. Some of you are going through right now. You need to understand that your God is in heaven and he's running things. And you need to know that you're not by yourself. You are not struggling by yourself. You are in community. You are not an individual. You are part of the family of faith, and you have a Father who is running things. Watch this now. Hallowed be thy name. Y'all good? Y'all all right? Y'all can let the hands go for a little while, but just stay up here for a while, all right? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Honored. Lifted high. Set apart. Exalted be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. If his name is to be hallowed, if his name is to be honored, if his name is to be lifted high, who's going to do it? How is his name going to be lifted? Through his children. We carry his name. We wear his name. The question is, do we wear his name well? Do we wear his name in a way that brings honor to his name? My daughter Zoe, she wears my name. She has my name. She is a Tate. And if my legacy and my pride or my destruction is going to come through her name and how she carries on my namesake. She's playing soccer. She had a soccer game yesterday. And I was sitting on the sideline just as proud as I could be. That girl's wearing my name. Look at the one. She just kicked the ball the wrong way, but she kicked it. She kicked it, and she kicked it with power and assurance. Game, they tied 0-0. We threw a party because last time they lost. We were like, hey. Because when she's on the field, she's honorable. She's polite. She's respectful. She's showing forth all the characters that we intentionally invest in her at home. So as a father, I'm proud because my girl, she ain't perfect. Somebody go get that ball. But she's wearing my name well. Can God, as he looks over the balcony of heaven and look at how you live, can he say that you're wearing his name well? Are you wearing his name? Not that you're perfect. But do you exemplify his character in the earth? May my name be hallowed by how my family carries and represents my name. Then he says, watch this now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do that again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My kingdom is going to come to earth, and I want what to be done in the kingdom on earth just like it's done in heaven. It's like this. On any given Sunday, there are three teams that will gather on the football field. You got the home team. The home team with the home advantage, who is filled with stands of fans who are there to encourage the home team. They are there to celebrate and push the agenda of the home team forward. They support and push the home team. Then you got the opposing team, the visitor team, the visiting team, the enemy team, the team that has come into this home team's territory to overtake, to overthrow, to outrun, to outdo, to outperform, to beat the home team. The goal of the opposing team is to overtake, overthrow, outrun, overturn the home team and all that it stands for. And there's no reconciliation between these two. Because for one to win, the other one absolutely has to lose. And for the other to win, the other one has to absolutely lose. So they're both agendas conflict with each other in its very nature. So it's not an idea of let's work together. Let's try to get... No. It literally, they stand in direct opposition of each other, and the conflict ensues. And in the midst of that conflict, in the midst of that chaos, the third team appears, and that's the team of officials. The team of officials are on the field, but not of the field. They're around the mess, but they ain't in the mess. They are right in the midst of the struggle and the fight, but they're not a part of the struggle and the fight. As a matter of fact, their job is to bring order in the midst of the chaos, and they have their own playbook. They don't follow the playbook of the home team. They don't follow the playbook of the opposing team. They follow the playbook of their home office, which is in New York on Park Avenue, the home office of the National Football League. The National Football League up in New York gives orders down on the field, and down on the field, the official's job is to bring forth the orders from up in the home office down here on the field, and their job is to follow the rule book of the home office up there and to execute down on the field what the home office has already done and executed there on Park Avenue. If you get it early, I won't have to preach as long. Friends, we are the officials. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the representation of the kingdom of God here on earth. And he has given us the playbook, the greatest playbook ever written. He's given us the word of God. And we are to execute down here in the world, down here on the earth, what has already been executed in heaven. We are to order and bring order in the midst of this chaos of this world, just like it is in heaven, right here on earth. The kingdom of God is going to come on earth just like it is on heaven, just like it is in heaven. Through who? Through his officials. The kingdom of God is going to come here on earth, but it's going to come through you and I. It's going to come through us. It's going to come through we. It's going to come through our. The kingdom of God is coming, but he's going to use you. He's going to use you. And together he's going to use us to officiate and to bring forth his kingdom here on earth, just like it is in heaven. We'll never get rid of all the good, and we'll never get rid of all the evil, but we can bring the rule and reign in the midst of injustice. We can bring order in the midst of the chaos of this world. So our job as the body of Christ is to recognize that we are an army. It's our. And we stand forth, and the kingdom of God, the glory of God, the righteousness, the reign, the rule of God comes forth through us just like it's been ordered in heaven. God is going to use you. He's going to use you to go to some rough neighborhood where kids are struggling and say the kingdom of God is going to reign on earth right here in this neighborhood just like it is in heaven. And God's going to use me, and he's going to use us, the community of God, to bring forth order, justice, and love. So I'm going to show up, and I'm going to help you with your homework. I'm going to help you do your math so you won't perpetuate the injustice that happens in this neighborhood, because nobody ever goes to college, nobody ever graduates, and everyone ends up on the street. So I'm going to break the cycle of poverty. I'm going to break the cycle of illiteracy, because the kingdom of God is going to show up, and it's going to show up through me on earth in your life just like it is in heaven. Y'all not getting it. I'm going to take this young girl, and I'm going to mentor her, and I'm going to love her, and I'm going to come alongside, and I'm going to pour my life into her, because I refuse for her to be sitting 17 years old in an abortion clinic struggling whether she should have an abortion. I ain't going to let her get that far, because the kingdom of God demands that the kingdom of God will come to earth in her life, in her relationships, in her soul, in her mind, in her body, just like it is in heaven. And it's going to come forth in her life, in her body, in her soul, in her mind, through me here on earth. Because I am my Father's child, and I wear his name well. And when I wear his name well, things change around me. People change around me. Injustice has to go around me. And the glory of God shows up around me. Amen. We can no longer be cheap-seated Christians, sitting in the cheap seats of society, standing back, critiquing government, critiquing school systems, critiquing why this is wrong, critiquing police departments. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and say, we are our Father's children, and not on our watch will education go down the drain. Not on our watch will the murder rate continue to rise. Not on our watch will the abortion rate continue to rise. May it never be so, because the kingdom of God, when we show up, we bring the King. These cheap-seated Christians, they come to services like this, just hear sermons and hear songs and go home and do nothing. Get on my nerves. Because they always got something to say about what other people are doing. Your little comfortable self, you ain't doing nothing. And the kingdom of God demands that we not only sign up, but that we step up and show up and bring forth the kingdom of God. Where does the kingdom of God need to show up in your neighborhood, in your community? What's the thing that, you know, the thing that you need to do? You say, well, I don't know what I need to fight. I don't know what my cause is. What irritates you the most? That's probably your cause. What drive? What makes you want to throw the phone at CNN? It's probably your cause. What makes you want to take a sledgehammer and just beat the mess out of Sean Hannity and Fox News? You see how I said CNN, nobody have a problem. I say Sean Hannity and Fox News, everybody. I like Sean. At what point do we stop waiting on the government to do what only Jesus and the kingdom of God can do, and that save the world? At what point do you get out of the cheap seats, stop being a critic, and allow the kingdom of God to flow and show up through you? Because if it's coming, it's coming through you. But you ain't got to do it by yourself, because it's coming through us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through us. What would it mean for God to use you to bring forth his glory? What would it mean for God to take your life right where it is? You may say, Albert, I'm 70-some years old. Those days are over. No, no, no. You still got breath in your body. God still got a plan and a purpose for your life. You may think I'm 17 years old. I'm too young. I can't do nothing. You'll be amazed if you allow the kingdom of God to flow through you, how you could change your community, your society. Some of you, there are bullies at your school. You see them, you know them, you watch them bully. What would it mean for you to stand up and say, not so, not here? You that's bullying, sit down somewhere. You not show up by yourself, but show up with other people and just say, we refuse it. What would it mean for you to take the kid that sits by themselves at lunch all the time? Nobody ever talks to. Most people whisper about. Most people talk about. For you to say, for the next 6 weeks, every day I'm having lunch with you. And let's be honest, the kid is weird. Right, let's not be in denial about the weirdness. You know what I mean? Let's just be honest. You are weird. Dude, you weird. You might not want to open up with that, I'm just saying. But you know, hey, in some places I'm weird too. Let's get to know each other. Let's hang out. What does it mean for you to take your group of friends, your influence, and love on unlovable people? You think, I'm too young, Albert. I'm just, all I do is text message and Facebook. That's my gift. That's my talent. What would it mean for you to take your gifted, talented self and a group of girlfriends and go to the nursing home and say, we're going to teach y'all how to keep up with your grandkids and be nosy? I'm telling you, they'll be all about it. Girl, please, come here. Let me show you how to do that. Show them how to use a computer. Give them a login name. Granny B is in the house. You don't think you can make a difference? Show up with three of your teenage girlfriends and go there and do that. Albert, all I know how to do is my nails. Take your nail polish over there and sit down with them and just do nails and let them tell you stories. Just do little petties. Manis and pedis. You can come to my house to practice if you want to. You know, just get your game up. You know, I don't want you going out, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are brothers here. The brothers say, well, Albert, I'm just young. I ain't got time. I just study. Well, do you know how to push a lawnmower? Go around and find the oldest person in the neighborhood. Go find some senior citizens. Or go find a single mom that's struggling. Or go find the worst looking yard. Obviously, they probably need some help. Say, ma'am, would you mind if I just come over and I got extra time on my hands. I'd love to just cut your grass for free at least twice a month. Would you mind doing that? And the only way, you have to pay me just by spending 30 minutes and just having a little snack with me so I can get to know you a little bit better. The kingdom of God will start showing up in your neighborhood, in your community, in your life, in ways like never before. You dating somebody, and y'all struggling with having sex, because y'all always sitting around making out, go and start serving people down in downtown L.A. on Skid Row. The horniness will just go. Gone. I mean, it's funny, but I'm really serious. Because it's hard to be so self-centered and so focused on you and your own pleasures when you're serving other people. See, that's why you got to get, when you get into the kingdom mindset, you realize that your goals in life with Jesus is not just to get you out of your addiction or just not to get you out of trouble, but he wants to get you into some kingdom trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if you just go to the substitutionary atonement and just go to the cross and say, I've been washed. Washed for what? What are you going to do now that God has set you free? Your hands are free. The Lord has delivered me from pornography. What are you going to do with your hands now? That's terrible. First, you need to go wash them. But then... This is terrible. I'm sorry. That was bad. Paul says this. Let me hear him go, Paul. Help me, Paul. Paul says, stop laughing. Paul says, your hands will steal no more because your hands now will be used to bring glory to God. Some of you, and I say that honestly, let me just say why I'm so blunt and why I'm always talking about pornography and why I'm always talking about sexual stuff. Because the prayer requests I get and the epidemic that's happening, especially to Christian men, Satan's trying to kill us with this stuff. Not take us out, not give us a hard time, not delay us. He's trying to kill us with it. So you got brothers who are fighting every day not to watch the computer or pull out their iPhone. You got girls who are fighting, trying to hold on to their purity because of relationships and dynamics. You got people fighting the fight. And the church generally is usually silent on it. Like usually we don't hardly ever talk about it. I probably talk about it a little too much. Hey, give me time. I'm a young preacher. But somebody needs to tell this generation, instead of fighting not to do, God has set you free so that you can go do something to busy your hands in kingdom work. And as you are consumed with the work of the kingdom, it's a whole lot harder for you to go back to your old ways because your hands now have been stained with righteousness. They've been stained with the blood of Jesus. And it's hard to take my hands and go back to what I used to do when my hands have been blessed and changed and transformed by the beauty and the righteousness of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? What does it mean for you to take your life, flaws and all, and completely surrender to the kingdom purposes for your life? How could he change you? How would he change your major? How could he change your career? It'll change your marriage. Some of you, your marriages, and you fight all the time. What if you took that energy and went and served at Foothills, I think it's the Outreach Center, where they serve people, help feed families, or the Door of Hope over in Pasadena. They take people that are trying to get back on track and helping them. What do it mean for you to sit down and go serve a family? It'll change just like that. You'll fight, but you'll fight for different things. You'll fight for the kingdom of God instead of fighting for your own selfish desires. Are y'all with me in here today? Satan's trying to destroy us. And he's using pornography, he's using sexuality and all that kind of stuff. But I think the number one thing that he's using to destroy us is indifference. The thing that makes you comfortable with coming in here every week and hearing a sermon and going home and doing nothing. That's how he'll destroy us. By your willingness to come, listen.
Alvin, you so funny. You funny. You great. That was cute. That was nice.
And go home and do nothing. That's what we pray against. That's what we fight against. At this church, we wage war against indifference. Stand up. Do something. So that the kingdom of God may flow through us on earth as it is in heaven. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you, God. Right now, if the Spirit of the living God is stirring your heart, heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to pray for those, particularly this morning, that are on the verge. You see that there's a kingdom call, there's a kingdom work. And you say, Albert, I just need faith to do what God is saying to do. I just need the faith to be bold. I've been here before and I've struggled here before. My hands have been freed. Now I just need the faith and this courage to do what God is calling my hands to do. If that's you and you're in this room, I want to pray for you. Would you just stand up right where you are? I need more faith to do what God is calling me to do. I need more faith to do what this kingdom call, to answer this kingdom call that God is calling me to. I need courage. I need boldness. I need courage and boldness. I need more faith. Some of you, let me just back up a step. Some of you, you say, Albert, my hands are dirty. My hands are soiled with the stains of this world. And honestly, the idea of me using these hands for God's glory is a far-fetched because they've been so stained. Hear me tell you, the love of Jesus Christ sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and that blood washes all sin, including the stains that are on your hands. Anybody willing to say, Albert, I want that blood to wash my hands today. I need that blood to cleanse my hands. They found themselves in worthless idols, and today I want to surrender these hands for God's kingdom purposes, but I need him to wash them. If you need your hands washed by Jesus, if you say my hands are impure, my hands need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. If that's you, would you just stand up right where you are? Stand up right where you are. Jesus, I need you to wash my hands. Jesus, I need you to wash my heart. Jesus, I need you to remove away the stain of sin and guilt. Father, I thank you so much. Blood that came streaming down on Calvary's cross, may that same blood flow freely in this place right now. Wash away the stain, wash away the sin. And Father, as you have the coming kingdom, Father, with that kingdom come, may your will be done on earth through me as it is in heaven. Give me the courage, give me the faith. Not just to do this prayer, but to be this prayer. Yes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through me and through this community. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done through me on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is here now. We believe it. We see it. May your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.